الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة، وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: مثل الغني ظلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء کرام, beloved elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this life, these opportunities to turn towards Him and to earn the akhirat. The passing of these days and months and the years does not signify this that we should sit and celebrate, but it needs, gives us reason to do some introspection and see that the days are going past, the months are going past, and now the year has gone past. What have you attained and what have you achieved? What were our aspirations, especially for the akhirat, for getting the nearness and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how far have we gone? This is a time of reflection. Normally when time passes, or periods of time pass, like years, of semesters, etc., what happens? People sit and reflect. Students see at the end of the year what were the results, whether we passed, whether we failed, what's going to happen in the future. And similarly, we're talking about business. Business people also at this crucial time sit and reflect and look at their books, see if there's how was the business, how did it fare in the previous year, what improvements they can make to better it, to gain, earn more profits, to generate more income, what were their losses, what were their gains. Life also in reality is actually a business and a trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given us all the resources for this business, the time, the faculties, the opportunities, etc. What are our gains? Our gains are all the good deeds that we carry out. And the losses are the bad deeds. The bad deeds are our losses. So we should try and make an assessment in this part of the year. What's the amount of good deeds? What is the line of my action? What is the course that I am taking? Is it of good deeds, amal-e saliha? Or am I taking the part of those people that earn the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala is so benevolent and merciful towards us that if there are any losses, then it is not like a business or not like an examination that a person fails and has to repeat. But here we just have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and istighfar. Sometimes just two rakats of namaz, and that mends their previous life and all those commissions that we did or all those things that we had left out, we find amended by just turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, if we are carrying out the right deeds, we are in the right cause, then we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not be elated because of this, not our doing. It is only from the tawfiq and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many are there that were treading the right cause and the right path, and we find we are led astray? And how many are there that were astray and came onto the right path? So it is only the ni'mat of Allah, the bounty of Allah, the gift of Allah, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are on the right path. We should express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a firm resolve to remain on this path. Further, we are talking about business and how Islam is so complete that it guides us in all spheres of our life, and there's no aspect of life that is left uncovered, that is left without any direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like He directs us towards our ibadat, acts of worship, our hajj, our zakat, etc. Similarly, our activities that pertain to business, etc. Also, we find guidelines are replete in the Quran and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding how a Muslim trader ought to be. We had mentioned some benefits of a trader that has good characteristics and is truthful and honest. What will be his what will be his position on the day of judgment? And that person that goes and goes and indulges himself in the business with the right intention, the intention that we had mentioned was to save himself from begging, to provide for his family, and to show kindness to his neighbors, then for that person, he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a state on the day of judgment that his face will be illuminated like the 14th moon, like the illuminated and bright moon on the day of judgment. So this shows that if we conduct ourselves in the right manner, according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then even business can earn us great reward and great merit in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had enumerated and counted some of the characteristics that are exclusive to a Muslim or that should be found is the hallmark of a Muslim trader. First one was, as we mentioned, truthfulness. Truthfulness and honesty. Secondly, we had mentioned that he has to be absolutely trustworthy, should be absolutely trustworthy and should not betray his trust under any circumstances. The third quality that we had mentioned, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that a Muslim trader that is lenient, that is gentle, that is tolerant, that is considerate, then for him Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made a dua, Rahimallahu rajulan samhan idha ba'a wa idha ishtara wa idha iqtada, that may Allah have mercy on that person. Allah have mercy on that person that is very lenient and very gentle when he buys, when he sells, idha ba'a. When he sells any item, then he is very gentle and very lenient. He is not hard, he is not aggressive, he is not crude, but he is gentle, he is accommodating, he is flexible when he is selling an item. وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى, similarly when he is buying an item. Normally, commonly, what do we find? When a person is selling an item, then he begins to exaggerate. Begins to exaggerate and mention such qualities and attributes of that item that are not found in the item. Why? He wants to promote and market his item. And he's not concerned about the reality of affairs. And he's very hard and crude in most conditions where he does not accommodating when he's asked for a little discount or a little remission. No, he wants his price in most cases. And what is meant here is the person is lenient and is gentle and considerate when he's selling an item. He looks at the person and comes to him. Sometimes that person is in dire circumstances, is a needy person, is a poor person and requires that item. He accommodates that person, he's lenient, and he sells that item for less than what he really wanted, what for, showing consideration to that person. Whereas the shtara, similarly when he's buying an item, normally when a person buys an item, then the tendency, if a person who's not just and upright, begins to criticize the item, in order to bring down the value of that item, in order not to pay the full price. He begins to criticize the item and does not give the person the price that he's asking for. No, here the person is considerate, he's kind, he's gentle, and he looks at the person, sometimes looks at his circumstances. There were instances where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given more than what the price was, showing consideration to the person. That person that is selling, person is needy. وَإِذَا اقْتَضَى, and when he goes and demands his right, here also is soft and lenient. He looks at the person's circumstances, he looks at his position, and he shows mercy and clemency and kindness to that person, and thereafter he makes a demand. He's not dogmatic and saying, under all circumstances, I want my money, or you'll have to pay me by a certain date. And he knows that person is in genuinely difficult circumstances and hardships. No, but he is considerate. Sometimes he even remits that amount and does not take anything from him, considering his consideration. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua for that person. May Allah have mercy for that person. Can there be any dua that is more valuable than the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And this is the way shown to us, the method and formula shown to us to get that dua is to adopt this in our buying and selling and in our transactions. Some verses, in some traditions is mentioned, Ghafar Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, may Allah forgive that person. May the forgiveness of Allah be for that person. We all want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here it is, in our trading, in the manner that we trade with people, we can gain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet we find in some other hadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Inna Allah yuhibbu sam'a al-bay, sam'a al-shira, sam'a al-qaba. Or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person that is lenient and gentle and kind when he is selling, when he is buying, and when he is fulfilling the right of some person, then he is very gentle and very lenient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. To get the here we get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another tradition, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entered a person into paradise. What person? Kana sahlan mushtariyan wa ba'iyan wa qadiyan wa muqtadiyan. He was very sahal. Sahal means easy. He was very easy going. He was very flexible. He was very polite when he used to buy, when he used to sell, when he used to fulfill the rights of people, and when he used to demand the rights of people, then he used to be very easy going and very flexible. Here Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered him into paradise. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Afzalul mu'mineen, the best of believers, the best mu'min is who? Rajulun, samha al-bay, samha al-shira, samha al-qada, wa samha al-iqtida. Or kama qala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the best of believers is that person that is very easy when he is buying, when he is selling, when he is buying, when he is fulfilling the right of a person, and when he is demanding the right, he is very easy, he is very accommodating, he is very gentle, he is very lenient. Then here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that he is the best of the mu'mineens. What great merit for that person that deals with the people and with his customers very kindly and very politely. Here, but we find a great contest sometime in lives of people because of disregard towards this aspect of deen. They feel this deen, like they say, like I say normally, people feel you shouldn't mind my business, none of my, nobody's business, it's only my business, I can do what I want. Yes, it's your business, but all of us are mu'mins and believers and muslimin, we are Muslim traders. And Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us how to conduct our business. So, like we conduct our salat in accordance and conformity with the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our business should also conform. Then we are Muslims through and through, fully. Not that our businesses does not conform to the way of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are conducted like the people conducted around us. And there is no difference between a non-Muslim and a Muslim when it comes to business. No. A Muslim is distinct and different when it comes to his business. When it comes to his business, and even non-Muslim should recognize that, that this is a Muslim. He deals in this particular way. These are the hallmarks of a Muslim, that he is honest, he is trustworthy, and he is gentle and lenient when it comes to his dealings. Another aspect we find, or the fourth quality that we find is distinct of a Muslim, or is found in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala mentions also in the Quran, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ, that if our debtors are such, if our debtors are such that they are in dire circumstances, they are in difficulties, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ, then give them respite to a time when those people are in positions of ease. And we know sometimes there are genuine circumstances. Obviously, this does not mean that a person, a debtor, takes advantage. On one hand, he's going for Umrah and Hajj. On the other hand, we find he's not paying his creditors. No. What it means here, the person is in dire circumstances. And sometimes this happens, we know. He went down his business. Something unforeseen has happened to him. A fire has taken place. Somebody fell seriously sick. And there was a lot of debt that was incurred, and now this person is unable to pay you, or he needs certain item desperately and he does not have the money, then give him respite. Give him respite. The Quran says, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. Give him respite. Give him time till the time when he is in time of ease and prosperity and when he can pay you. وَإِنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, and you remit that completely, that which is owing you, you forgive him and overlook it completely. وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, this is better for you. Here also we find it looks like a business transaction, got nothing to do with my deen, ma'azallah. No. What will be the position, or what will a person earn and what will he get if he does so? You will be amazed if you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding that person who grants time to that person who cannot pay, or he remits and completely forgives him. You will be astonished and surprised. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that man anzara mu'asiran aw wada'a anhu أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ أو كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person that grants respite to a person that's in difficulty and dire circumstances, or وَضَعَ عَنْهُ, or overlooks that and limits that entire amount, أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ. Some rewards, أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ فِي يَوْمِ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ وَتَحْتَ عَرْشِهِ أو كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him shade in the shade of his arsh on the day of judgment. For that person who remits or gives time to that person who cannot pay him. Another riwayat is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Anjahu Allah min kurbi yawm al-qiyamah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him freedom and salvation from the difficulties and hardships and calamities of the day of judgment. Imagine how much appreciated it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooking the need of a Muslim brother, and you just get granted him respite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will salvate that person from the calamities of the day of judgment, on the day of judgment. Another riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, whoever does the same thing, man anzara mu'asiran aw wada'a anhu waqahu Allah min fayh jahannam, or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, person that overlooks and grants respite and forgives the debt of that person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anjahu Allah min fayh jahannam, Allah ta'ala will save him from the fire and the heat of the fire of jahannam, just for overlooking the Muslim brother. Yet together with that we find that, mentioned one riwayat, that there used to be a person that used to instruct his worker that if you come, إِذَا أَتَيْتَ مُعْسِرًا فَتَجَاوَزْ عَنْهُ لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يَتَجَاوَزْ عَنَّا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. He says, when you're dealing with people and you come across a person that is in dire straits, in difficulty and hardship, then forgive him. تَجَاوَزْ عَنْهُ. Overlook that. Overlook that. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook our sins. And this consequently what happened when he had passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven his sins because he had overlooked this death that was upon this person for his benefit. So here we find, because he had dealt with that person in that manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also had forgiven him. In some riwayats we understand that when a person gives time in respite to a person who's owing him, for every single day he gets the reward of sadaqah for that amount. If he has loaned him, for example, a person owes him 1,000 rand and he has given him time for 1 month, then every day of the month he gets the reward of giving charity for 1,000 rands. And after the time has come, he even gives him even more respite. After the due date, he gives him more respite. Then for every single day that goes past, then he gets the reward of double the amount. In other words, for every single day, if he gives him another month's time to pay him, then for every day of that month, he gets the reward of 2,000 rands given in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily. This is how much appreciated it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person that gives time to a person, to a debtor, that is genuinely in difficulties and in hardships. So here we understand this also forms part of our deen, and we can gain great merit in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by exercising leniency or giving time to those people that owe us money and people that we, and alhamdulillah, we find even in this age and era, reminds me always of one incident that had taken place. One Hafiz Sahib had told me that one person was owing another person 90,000 rands. 90,000 rands he was owing him, and he should conduct business with him, and difficult things, there was a recession, and things became difficult for him to repay him. So this Hafiz Sahib told me, when I went up to that person, who was a very, very rich person, and I went and told him, that by what are you lacking? This person has difficulty. He paid you as far as he could pay you. This is very rare nowadays in our society. But yet we find here the rewards. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And you regard this as sadqa, charity, and give it to him. And don't take him. Allah Ta'ala says it's better for you. He says, I went up to him and told him, what will you lose if you overlook this amount? Allah Ta'ala has granted you so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe the sincerity of that person, Allah ta'ala opened the heart of this person and he said, I forgive this person. It was 90,000 rand, maybe about 10, 15 years ago, which meant a lot of money in current times. Here he had the heart to forgive that person. Now imagine, here the reward for him, أَزَلَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي زِلِّهِ. Allah ta'ala will give him shade on the day of judgment. Allah ta'ala will save him, أَنْجَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ كُرُبَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah ta'ala will save him from the fire, the heat of Jahannam, for this person that forgave his Muslim brother. So this is an opportunity also, while we are in business, to gain the closeness and proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by dealing with our brothers. But Islam is such a great religion that it addresses both the parties. It addresses the creditors also and addresses the debtors also. This was addressed to the creditors, how they should deal with the debtors. Then it addresses the debtors also, that when it comes to paying, then obviously there should be no undue delay. When a person takes a loan from a person, the personal example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is before us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pay the people promptly. As Jabir radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid me, wazadani, and given me even more. And this is permissible if it is not conditional. Obviously, if a person takes a loan of a certain amount and makes a condition that you have to pay me more, then this becomes interest. But out of a person's free will, that person gave him more, which you don't hear of here again. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not only paid, but had given him even more. To show to us that we should pay the people that we are owing them and pay them the dues on the proper time. Yet in another hadith is mentioned to us, here we find very commonly a person owes the person. Here we find especially when he is in a position of power, that person that has the wholesale and has the big shop, then has the big supermarket, and that person who comes to him to sell him a few sandals, to sell him a few shoes, or sell him a few things, a few items, then he buys those items, and then it comes to paying, then he dilly-dallies. He procrastinates, come next week, in the following week, in the following week. Yet this person has all the wealth in the world, and he is riding a nice car, he's living in a palatial home, and is going upon holidays, going for umrah, giving charity, giving 1,000 rand to a certain masjid, certain madrasa, mashallah, very good actions. But what is due upon you has to be carried out. That is not for us in binding, but this is binding for you to pay this. And what is this in the idea, what in the terminology of the Sharia? What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rate this as? Matlul ghaniyya zulmun. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the procrastination and undue delaying of a wealthy person, this is zulm and oppression. This is oppression. And that's why sometimes you find that person does everything. He reads his salat, he gives his zakat, he's going for hajj, he makes his tilawat, he makes his zikr. But on the one hand, he's oppressing. Oppressing those persons that come to him and sell him those items. It does not pay him. What amount of oppression, only what amount of difficulty this oppression causes, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and that person knows. That person has to, poor person, has to pay his rent, has to pay his people, has to pay his workers, has to pay, look after his children, etc. Is undergoing hardship and difficulty because of me and you, or that rich person, not paying him. And what happens? When a person is oppressed, what happens? Then his heart pains and hurts. And when the heart pains and hurts, then the du'as, bad du'as come out for that person. Oh Allah, deal with this man. I cannot get his money out of him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom, fa innahu laysa baynahu wa bayna Allah hijab, that save yourself from the du'as, bad du'as of that person that is oppressed. There's no veil between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we want to know why we are not happy, why we do not have peace of mind. We are oppressing this poor person that we ought to pay. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had paid properly, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned in a hadith, fa inna khayra an-nasi ahsaruhum qada'an. The best of people are those people that pay their dues quickly. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَكُمْ 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 قَبَعًا. The best amongst you are best of the best that pay their dues. You owe somebody something, when the time comes, then you pay your due. You do not delay in that person and cause hardships and difficulty for that person. Hazrat Abu Abdullah ibn Abiyah radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owed me 40,000 dirhams. He said, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid it to me. And together with that, he made dua for me, barakallahu fi ahlika wa malika. May Allah ta'ala bless you in your family, and may Allah ta'ala bless you in your wealth. Fa inna jaza'a salaf al-ada'u wal-hamd. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the reward of this debt and loan that you have given me, al-ada'u wal-hamdu wal-ada, is praise and payment. That I have to praise you also for giving me this debt and to pay you also. So here we learned in the hadith that we should pray promptly. One incident, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person from the nation of Bani Sa'idah had come to him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owed him one wasak of khajur. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to claim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told some sahabi that pay him on my behalf. That person gave him, but he gave him khajur of an inferior quality. That person said he rejected to take it, he refused to take it. And people told him, are you rejecting what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given you? He says, who can be more worthy of doing justice than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak eyes welled up with tears and said, yes, he has spoken the truth. Who can be more worthy of doing justice than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Khawla radiallahu anha to weigh the dates, proper dates of a higher quality, and to settle the debt. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one beautiful sentence. We should remember the sentence, especially when we are paying. That creditor that is happy with the debtor, after he pays him and is happy with his debtor, then all the creation on the earth and the fish in the sea make dua for him. Make dua for that debtor. That person that pays promptly and comes and pays his own people the money, he comes and pays him, then all the creatures in the earth and the fish in the sea make dua for that person. And that person that delays unduly, then for every day that goes by, there's sin written upon that person because he's delaying the debt of that person. So here another outstanding quality and outstanding characteristic of a Muslim trader is that when he buys from somebody, then he pays him promptly. And when his people is owing from him something, then he's very lenient when he claims from him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.